Please remain standing and pray with me. Almighty God, we come to you this Christ the King Sunday as we remind ourselves of the ever-present and most needed truth that Christ indeed reigns at your right hand in heaven and on earth. Encourage our hearts, Lord, with this truth from your word. And Lord, we pray as we welcome into, as we give a royal welcome to these children here through the waters of baptism, that you indeed will receive them into your kingdom. And so we commend ourselves to your love and care. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. So good to be with you on this Christ the King Sunday. And I guess when Christ is King, the children make noise. It's a little louder this week. It's good to hear that. It's a wonderful sign of life. On this day, the church stands at the end of the Christian year. This is the last Sunday of the year. And proclaims the most radical truth humanity has ever heard. Jesus is King. Not in theory, not in sentiment, not in our private religious imaginations or devotions. He is King in fact, in reality, in heaven and on earth. Everything, as we heard, was made through him. And everything holds together in him. And today, in the sacrament of holy baptism, we witness what it means to be brought under his royal rule. Our lessons this morning proclaim a single theme from four angles. The world is ruled by bad shepherds, crumbling kingdoms, and dying powers. But Christ the King rescues, reconciles, and reigns. You can turn with me if you wish, or you can just listen here. First, we see from Jeremiah chapter 23, the bad kings and the true king. Jeremiah speaks at a time when corruption was rampant. Shepherds who scattered the sheep, rulers who prey on the vulnerable, leaders who destroy rather than heal. And the Lord's indictment is strong in verse 1. Woe! Woe to you shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. You see, God is not indifferent to injustice. I think we need to be reminded of that ourselves, that he has not left us abandoned, even in the midst of bad leadership, even in the midst of the accusation of bad leadership. He's not indifferent to injustice. And this truth gives us a great confidence and comfort when we see or experience injustice in our world. God will, in his perfect timing, it's never when we want it often, but in his perfect timing, he will act. He will judge. He will rescue. He sees. In his throne, we heard last week, all the eyes. Was it last week? All the eyes. Or was it, no, it was this past week. Jensen, your homily during midweek communion, of all the eyes of the seraphim that surround the throne, these all-seeing eyes that communicate God searching out for justice, God sees. He sees false leadership, failed leadership, political, spiritual, cultural, and he promises to act. Verses 4 and 5 of Jeremiah 23, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. And they shall fear no more. I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in verse 6, we hear this wonderful name that's given to the branch of David. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our justice. Jeremiah points us to a king not marked by self-serving corruption, but by righteousness. Not by domination, but by justice. Not by scattering, but gathering. Not by exploiting, but saving. Christ the King simply is not like the rulers of this world. For which we can say, thanks be to God. We don't want more of the same. We want something new. We want something better. We want Christ. He is the Good Shepherd who comes looking for his lost and wounded sheep. And today, through the waters of baptism, he will come and claim these precious children. He will claim them as lambs of his own flock, marking them with the sign, his sign, the sign of the cross, sealing them with his Holy Spirit, and promising them, "You are mine." It's a great encouragement, parents. You are mine. That's what God says over these children this morning. Second, from Psalm 46, we encounter Christ the King in the midst of crumbling kingdoms. Psalm 46 meets us in our honest fears. Verse 6 expresses those. The nations rage, and kingdoms totter. This aptly describes our world still. Empires shift, institutions crumble, leaders fall. Even our personal lives are not as stable as we would like. But the psalm gives the answer to the chaos of our world, the chaos of our lives, with two simple words. God is. God is. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. God will help her. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see, our confidence does not come from the stability of our world. Whether it be the economic world, no matter where on the spectrum you fall in that, it does not come from the stability of our political world, for that is ever changing and shifting beneath us. It does not come from the stability of our culture world, because it's also always shifting. But rather, our confidence comes from the stability of God himself. His unchanging and unwavering character provides for us a sure and enduring foundation, a sure and enduring refuge amid a world crumbling under the weight of sin and its consequences. And amid this crumbling world, the sacrament of holy baptism proclaims the same truth. Our world may shake and crumble all around us, but the promises of Christ given here do not. They stand sure. They stand immovable. Here, plain old ordinary water, by God's grace, becomes a place where he says, "When the world rages, I will hold you. You are mine. When kingdoms totter, you belong to me and to a kingdom that cannot be shaken." And then amid the crackling of crumbling kingdoms and a crumbling world, we hear the voice of God instruct us, "Be still." Christian, be still and know that I am God. Stillness here, of course, is not passivity. It's an active surrender. An active submission to the true King, trusting that his reign is unshakable. And that actually frees us to act in our world in ways that bring life, not death. In ways that lead those to the Good Shepherd who desires to bring them into his fold, to claim them as his own through the good news of the gospel. Be still and know that I am God. Too often we're frantic with fear. Fear of this political party or that one, fear of this ideology or that one, fear of this economic environment or that one, yet amid it all, Christ is King. He reigns. You know, this is a fairly new feast day. It's only about 100 years old. Well, I mean, in the history of the church, that's yesterday. We already had a Christ the King son, or Christ the King feast. It's called Feast of the Ascension. But this one was started 100 years ago to remind Christians in the midst of a turbulent world that Christ reigns. We do not need to be fearful, but we can stand still amid the storm. Because God is our refuge and strength. He is present to us in the midst of trouble and turmoil and chaos and the ever-changing tides of societies and economies and politics and family dynamics. So be still, Christ Church. And know that the triune God is with us. Know that the triune God is with you. And parents, as you bring your children to the waters of baptism, know that God is with Ambrose, that he is with May. Third, from Colossians, we see Christ as the cosmic king who reconciles all things. Love it. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul lifts the curtain on reality itself. And when he does, he shows us not a local king who has a border, boundary, not a tribal deity, who only knows one language, not a religious figure, mere human, not a national leader, but he shows us the cosmic Christ. Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God. By him, all things were created, and in him, all things hold together. Everything, in essence. Stars, nations, history, bodies, societies, souls, all of it exists because Christ the King wills it so. And then Paul makes this most extraordinary claim in verse 20, that through him, through this cosmic king, Christ, God reconciles to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is one of the great paradoxes in all of Scripture and indeed in all of reality. The true king reigns from a tree, a cursed tree. His throne is the hard wood of the cross. His crown is of thorns. His royal proclamation is, I forgive you. He conquers. Not by shedding of blood in his first advent, not by shedding the blood of his enemies, but by shedding his own blood for his enemies. And through the waters of baptism here this morning, by faith and repentance, God immerses these children into that mystery, just as he's immersed you, baptized Christian, into that mystery. United to Christ, through these waters we die and rise again in him. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. And we rise, and when we rise, he transfers us from the fallen, crumbling kingdoms of this world into his glorious, everlasting kingdom. Praise be to God. As Paul says earlier in Colossians 1, verses 13 through 14, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And this is not symbolic language. It's ontological. It is real. It is what happens at the font. Here we are united to the cosmic Christ who rules over all. We can be in no safer place. Here, through union with him, we enter his kingdom. We become subjects of his rule, citizens of his coming kingdom. Finally, we arrive at Luke's gospel, and we encounter the king on the cross and the criminal in paradise. Here in Luke chapter 23, we see the place where the kingship of Christ is most clearly revealed. Not in glory, not in majesty, not in angelic armies, but in suffering love. This is where God, where the Son, reveals the Father most clearly for us. In his willingness to be hung on a tree, between two criminals, and to be mocked. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. But as the true king, he of course does not save himself. Rather, he saves others. He saves even the most deplorable, the most undeserving among us. with his radical love. He saves the one who turns to him in simple desperation and faith, regardless of his or her worthiness, crying out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." We are all that criminal, are we not? These children coming here this morning are that criminal, crying out, "Jesus, save me when you come to your kingdom." These parents are bringing their children and saying, "God, pour out your grace. Bring these beloved souls into your everlasting kingdom. Hold them secure in your arms and claim them as your own." This criminal is the first person in the Gospels to clearly confess Jesus as King while seeing him on the cross. He has crystal clear vision. And Jesus answers that insight with these words of royal authority: "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." We see here in vivid color the gospel that is for all of us, the good news that is for all of us, the good news that is for each one of us. Christ the King does not reign from afar. He reigns from the place where sinners, where we can reach him, from the place where we need him the most. He reigns from the place of your darkest sin, your most heinous sin. He claims forgiveness over you if you turn to him. He is not some distant king, but he is a king that comes to reign in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our sin, and he reigns from a cross so that no one is too far gone. No one is too broken, no one too sinful, no one too late to be received through faith and repentance, to be forgiven, to be reconciled, and to be restored. And baptism, of course, is Christ's royal welcome to the sinner who turns to him in faith and repentance. "Today you will be with me in my kingdom. Today you are my beloved. Today, the sign of the cross marks you out as my own." So on this Christ the King Sunday, these baptisms tell the gospel story through word and water. The gospel story that we are rescued from false shepherds, protected by the good shepherd. We are planted in a kingdom that cannot be shaken amid crumbling kingdoms all around us. We are united to the cosmic Christ who holds all things together, especially you. We are forgiven, welcomed, and promised paradise by the King who reigns from a cross over our darkest and most heinous sin. These children do not enter here this morning some private spirituality. Rather, they are ushered into a very public and a very eternal kingdom. A kingdom with a crucified king. Christ our King calls all of us, all the baptized, this day to live under his gracious reign by trusting him when the nations rage, following him as the good shepherd, serving him as citizens of his kingdom, repenting whenever we fall and drift toward darkness, and remembering whose name is written upon us. And above all, remembering that his promise is the same to every one of his children as it was to that thief on the cross: "You will be with me." So today, at the end of the Christian year, we proclaim the truth that will never end. Christ is King. King over the nations, King over the church, King over sin and death, King over these children, these families, this feast, and this moment. And one day, the day for which every baptism prepares us, on that day the King will return, and the whole world, on bended knee, will hear his voice: "Be still and know that I am God." Until that day, may we be still, living in the peace and the power of his presence with us, in the presence of his kingdom. on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.